You're listening to 100.9 FM throughout Perth and the metropolitan area. It's a good day to you, wherever you are. And this program is called Health Matters. And it is a great program where we can have conversations and conversations regarding health. And we look at Aboriginal health and community health and wherever you might be throughout Perth and the metropolitan area. And again, feedback in the program from time to time is really good. 0448 21186. That's if you like to be a part of programming, and you can lock in your feedback. And there's been some really good information coming back too from people out of the community who've listened to a Health Matters program right here at Noongar Radio. Must let you know that the program is also heard right across Australia on the sites from not top end of the Northern Territory to places like Cherbourg and other places, Sydney and Melbourne. And also the program is heard in Tasmania as well. So good to have all our listeners who are listening into the program right around Australia and Tasmania and on the Packham network right across the top end of Western Australia. Now that's a lot of people listening in too as well, and we're very, very proud to be a part of this program here through the Health Department of WA. And we are very grateful for people to coming into the program to actually talk about some of the issues, and these issues are very important too as well within the community. And if you're a community person, I'm sure they'd like to hear some feedback or listen to some feedback as well. You can get in contact with us. Our number is 0448 21186. That's on the text line. It is only a text line, so make sure that you can leave your voice on there as well, 0448 21186. Now that's a good number to get in contact with here in Noongar Radio, and of course the agency leaving something important, and that's the I suppose it is gratitude with attitude. It's a very good day to Mel. Nice to... Oh, you've been on radio before, so you're pretty good at this.
Yeah, I'm a bit of an old regular. Yeah.
An old hand, yeah. Mel Robinson, tell us a little about country and where you come from, and a little bit about what you do.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on today. Hello to everyone around Australia that's listening. I'm a Narinyan Gidja woman from the Kimberley of Western Australia, and I grew up in a little community called Nullagunda on the Gibbiba Road. Mm. Yeah. So I'm a long way from home, but really honoured to be on Noongar country. And I work in Perth Children's Hospital, our new hospital for children, and I'm acting as the Director of Aboriginal Health there.
Yes, and of course people may be listening into the program now there near the Gib River Road.
Yeah, a long way.
Would you like to say hello to them?
Yeah, a big shout out to all my mob up there, also my Derby mob as well. I've got a lot of family and friends up there, so hello everyone if you're listening up there.
Yes, okay, they definitely are listening in. And of course, Scott Phillips, your CEO with KidSafe, tell us about you and country and what you do.
Well, I was born in New South Wales, but was only there for a short period of time, so I'm really West Australian.
Oh, yes.
And grew out near the Swan River there in Bassendean, so my whole life was out that way. And over time, I've done a bit of work with children in many different things. I've been a teacher, and I've been a physiotherapist with children.
Yes.
And now I'm dealing with KidSafe, which we look after... messaging to the public about how many children are getting injured. And that's really important in WA, because we have 7,000 children being hospitalised every year for accidental injuries, and actually 27 children will die every year from accidental injuries.
CMA.
So we really need to get that number way down.
And it is the preventative approach, isn't it, is to prevent those incidents, and the importance of understanding that this is all preventable, aren't they?
Well, it is, and that's what we believe. We believe that this is all preventable, but we also believe that a lot of the messaging we give is pretty simple, but we just have to remind people sometimes of that, because we've got a fairly busy world now. Mm. We're all a bit distracted.
Yeah. And Mel?
Yes.
Yes, tell us about the things that you're doing.
So I'm doing quite a bit, Jeremy, just around, I guess, particularly in the hospital, but also through our community health and our mental health service as well, just trying to support our Aboriginal workers you know, to be included in sort of that team planning. And they also do a lot of work around getting families into our service as well. So, you know, I sit under Child and Adolescent Health Service, and we've got obviously the hospital, but we've also got a community health and a mental health program as well. So we do a lot to support our Aboriginal families. You know, and obviously some of those families are experiencing issues with their children and young people around injury. So if we can sort of start educating the community a bit and getting messages out there, you know, about ways we can stop our mob getting hurt, that's really important.
Well, we're doing it right now.
Absolutely.
This is closing the gap. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing? So now let's... the important equation is family.
Yes.
And the importance as well, that information is putting it out there in the community. And how important it is with families to take that responsibility on.
Absolutely. And as we know with our Aboriginal families, it's not just mum, dad, it's everyone is a carer for children and young people. You know, we're all responsible through our kinships and stuff to take care of our young people and our children. So, you know, this is about educating everyone in the community that there's ways you can actually keep children and young people safe, and it's not difficult, and we all have a responsibility to do that. So, you know, if we can help make it better, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Scott, I'd like that. I suppose I don't like the statistics, but I like how you put it, that these things are preventable, and it's important that families know, you know, the statistics of children that are coming into the hospital as a result of injury, and they can be that this can be prevented.
Yeah, correct. And look, I'd like to back up that message that it's not always just about the family, but we can probably learn some lessons here about how important community is.
Yeah.
It takes the whole community to look after our children and raise them and have those rites of passage that they need to grow up. But as we see those statistics, that's the shock value of them. But some of this is very easy. I don't think people know that a whole classroom of children are dying each year just from accidents, and this is from furniture falling on them or drowning or not being seated correctly in a car. They're things that we can prevent. They're pretty simple things for us to do, and the number one thing that we will profess is that you just need to supervise young children, and that supervision needs to stay there until they're about 12. Sometimes we think our children are growing up a little bit quicker,
and
they're making decisions for themselves that we would make, but they're not.
Yeah, they're children. Yeah, and the importance of getting again community support, family support. Let's look at some of the programs that are out there that could assist families that are listening to the program. As I look, you know, as I say, you know, the thing is that Scott, the biggest. I suppose the more challenging it is that children do take control, unfortunate, at a very early age at times because of, I suppose, a lot of the information that's there before them. But really, it's the parents to sort of take that leadership role. And we're at the age of information and knowledge, all that.
Absolutely. And I think it's not difficult to do. We are very distracted. But, you know, just I guess it's really important to be knowing where your kids are and what they're doing. You know, like I was alarmed a few years ago when I heard a story of a young baby drowning in a bucket of water.
Oh, dear.
You know, but that does happen. So there's simple things you can do, I guess, to prevent that happening. Mm. And, you know, obviously there's lots of support out there. Like I would encourage everyone in Australia to do a first aid course. You know, that's something that's really important to have. Yeah.
That's a very good preventative process when you're looking at that, because it's the fear factor of what am I going to do in this situation?
Mm.
What are some of the interventions that I've got? Choking, you know, what do we do? What is the best method? And all those sorts of things are pretty important. And really parents... There should be something that's put into parents' programming as well.
And I think doing a first aid course makes you realise how, and there is children-specific courses you can do as well, but I think in lots of ways you realise how many dangers there are around the home, out and about in the community, in a park. You know, there is a lot of dangers that you need to be aware of. And not that you don't want your kids to have fun and explore and be outside, but and even in the home, but, you know, just to be aware that there is lots of things that you can do around the home, and a first aid course will often raise your awareness on that, Scott.
Yeah. Mm, and look, there is a number of agencies that offer the children's first aid course, particularly for new parents.
Yeah.
And for people, and you don't have to go and learn how to be a paramedic. These are one-day courses just on some of those things that may happen to children. What I'd like to say is we want to prevent a lot of that happening in the first place. So some of the things that we see are burns in the house, and in the backyard we've got more and more fire pits, and we've got you know, campfires and things happening. Mm. It's just that supervision of children around that. We still want kids to have that great life growing up with all those things, but just making sure we're actively supervising. And when we say actively, it means we're not looking at our phone when we're supervising, and we're not sitting down reading a magazine by the pool while the kids are swimming, but we're actually actively watching what's going on and just attending.
Well, they are definitely a distraction.
Yes.
A phone, a telephone.
Absolutely.
Or maybe a TV show. Mm. Or some of those things that are out there in the air.
Yeah.
And it only takes a couple of seconds. Mm-hmm. Or 2 minutes.
And you think about, you know, a lot of things I did as a kid on the river and, you know, out and about with lots of family around.
Yeah.
You know, do you need to nominate someone to watch the kids? Because we used to just run around and run free, and that was fine. But there is risk with that if no one's actually responsible. So in some ways, if you're out with a big mob and you're on the river and you're doing stuff and there's a fire, and, you know, someone still needs to be accountable for the little children that are around there.
So you can make one family member.
Yes.
That's down there in a community gathering. And, you know, elect them to say, okay, I'm going to look after my boy or a girl. And, you know, that's an important thing to start to elect somebody who's going to do that.
Yeah.
As well, if there's a big group. And the second question is, some of these accidents are susceptible specifically for Aboriginal people. It's for everyone, really, when it comes to that. But there are cultural sensitivities and cultural aspects of our Aboriginal culture which brings people together. And there are some things that we need to be aware of. And, again, it is that mobile phones, communication, and who's in the house, how many people are in the house as well. So there are some little areas we need to be very concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're a very social group of people. We like to have lots of people coming through our homes, you know, lots of different people staying. So there's, you know, large numbers in a home, and that brings risk as well, because, again, you know, who is watching the children, you know. Sometimes you'll have people in the home who have medications that they're taking for a health condition. You know, where are you storing those? Where are you keeping them?
Yeah.
You know, that's a really important thing. Just general safety around the house. You know, maybe family members aren't used to being in a home with young children. So, you know, they might forget with the bucket of water, or, you know, leaving the gate open on the pool, or those sorts of things. So, you know, there's lots of things that... if you're not a regular person in that house, you may not be aware of that, you know, simple things we can fix and prevent injury.
One of the things we were doing just before working in radio is that I was in the place, and we did risk management and doing a risk assessment. And these are risk assessments to safety and people's safety and people in the house and various other things with regard to crime prevention. And that's basically what we have to do as people, really, and with children, is to make that assessment and make that risk assessment regarding safety aspects in the house, finding out, you know, other the back door's not working, or, you know, they need to be fixed as well. And there are some various sharps around in the house as well. Mm. And Mel, I like that point you made regarding some medication.
Yeah.
How many kids would dive into a medication a box and or see it? Make sure that you put it in a safe place, and that's a risk assessment, isn't it?
And more and more, we even how our house is designed with all the low furniture, we've gone away from that storing our medicines away in medicine cabinets just so we know. For every little child who's two and above, everything looks like a ladder. So if they can climb, they'll climb up and get whatever you're putting up there. So you need to also be careful. And we also know, when we looked into why children are getting poisoned at home, almost half of it was from paracetamol, and one of the number one places children get that from is from your girlfriend's handbag.
Wow.
So just leaving your bags around, or they visit their grandparents' house, who may have more medication that they needed to be taking, but they're not used to having children in the house, so they leave it out a little bit more. So it's just knowing, even when you're taking your children to new places, just to be careful.
Yeah.
I will say, on our website on kidsafewa.com.au, we do have a checklist there that people can easily go through just to check some of the things in their house, you know, just to make sure that, you know, their house is... You're never going to make it completely safe for children, but that you're trying to get those things sorted out.
Yeah.
So in the house we have bathrooms with water, make sure around water. We have furniture needs to be connected to the wall, because we have we will have bookcases and sometimes TVs falling on children. Just making sure that you go through every room in the house and then into the backyard, that if you've got even fertilisers for your garden can be poisonous to children, so make sure you lock it away.
Yeah. That bathroom one was interesting too, as well, where, you know, kids can, you know, just go into a bathroom and then within a short period of time, they're drowning.
You only need 5 centimetres of water, and it takes 3 minutes, and it's silent. So one thing we do also stress is that quite often we'll try and task some of our older children to supervise little ones.
That's a good idea.
And it's not always a good idea, because they won't make the same decision an adult will.
That's right.
So maybe a teenager.
Yeah.
But just make sure that we don't expect our children to make the decision we would make as an adult.
And again, it's the distractions. That we've got to be very mindful of those distractions. And my 4-year-old, he hasn't discovered this yet, but hopefully he's not listening. He hasn't discovered that you can step on a box, or any particular box, and open the door. And I've been shielding him from that, because I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to teach him new skills. He could be on the road again. Mm. He could just go out on the road.
Mm.
They're the things I'd say that would be definitely a risk situation where he can open the door, and all he has to know is how we're going to step onto that box, or step onto a chair. The other thing is that medicine situation where, you know, there are medicines there, and I'm going, and he's discovering that he can get on to things and get onto the table and all that stuff. But I've removed the box and the chair a bit. But they're the things we need to be very mindful of, isn't it?
Look, kids are innately curious, and they want to explore, and they want to, test the limits and stuff. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to get themselves into strife. So as the adults or as the supervisors, we need to sort of always be thinking one step ahead of them. Like you have, Jeremy, with your son, trying to prevent these things, because they are naturally inquisitive and they want to explore and they want to, you know, go climb up the bookcase. But, you know, that if that bookcase isn't sort of secured to the wall, then that's obviously going to be a disaster and serious injury. So,
yeah.
And it's really important that also that children learn by watching, particularly our toddlers. They'll watch us. So if they see us put something in our mouth, they think that's safe, and that can be medication taken in front of a child, so then they go for it. Or if they see us with a hot coffee that we keep drinking, they'll try and explore with their mouth to get to that coffee. So really it's making sure that we don't leave hot cups of tea around, or even a beer around that's half full, because they are learning by watching. So we really need to make sure we keep some things away from the little ones.
Yeah, and monkey see, monkey do.
Exactly.
You know, of course, a child will do something mimicking behaviour, because that's their learning process, 0 to 5. You know,
absolutely.
The importance of their learning as well at the same time. So,
they're modelling.
And it would be, I suppose, it would be advisable to be aware that the children are taking this in, and to our listeners now listening into the program, to be aware that there were kids out there. They're gonna watch what you do. And remember that ad where the father gets the child to go to get the beer out of the fridge?
Oh, yeah.
It was a completely shocking ad. You know, because then, of course, I liked the ad because it did tell people that, you know, as the child grows older, the child will do exactly what the parent will do. And it's a good analogy, isn't it?
Mm. We need good role models in our community, and we just have to know that people are watching us, even if we think they're not. Children watch us all the time to see what we're doing, to work out what's safe and what's appropriate to do.
Mm. And of course, some of the incidents that the kids are going into hospital for, I suppose there's probably a rating of certain levels of things that they go into in care in hospital.
Well, from injury prevention point of view, the biggest place that children get hurt is in the home, so 60%.
So it's a home.
And 60% of that is under 4 years old, and that's because of all the things we've been talking about. But we need to think that kids are at home until that point.
Yeah.
Then it moves into school. But for the children who are dying from these injuries, it's drowning and children as passengers in vehicles. So we need to make sure that our young children are in the right childcare restraint for their age, where they sit in the car, that we don't have too many people in the car. They need to all have at least a seatbelt, and that we are supervising around water, and we have the fences in place, and we're actively supervising them at all times around water.
Yeah, and it's there have been cases over time where children have absconded outside into neighbours' property, and again, pool safety. We just have to keep that vigilance within the community ourselves and with children. And as you say, Mel, it's only it takes a very short time, and within minutes.
Yeah.
In minutes.
I remember when my daughter was little, she's 15 now, and I loved chucking her in the radio just to embarrass her. we had a swimming pool. My auntie had a swimming pool, and we had all the young kids there, and they were all under 8. And she pushed one of her little cousins, who was probably about 3 at the time, and just went headfirst into the water. And we were all there, and my dad was in the pool, and he grabbed the feet of the little one.
Yeah.
But it's just that split second. We couldn't believe how quick it was for her to go under, and she couldn't swim properly. So, you know, it doesn't take long, Jeremy, and they do slip out really quick. Mm-hmm. You know, you turn your back for a second and they're gone, and they're, you know, you don't know where they are, and all you need is that, you know, a bit of water, a pond, a busy road, a bath, anything. You know, that split second is not long at all. I'm thinking about even your stove when you're cooking, you know, hot pots on a stove or your oven. You know, it doesn't take long for them to sort of be curious, and then that hot, you know, saucepan of water is on top of them, you know. Yeah. So
it's amazing, because we're looking at preventative issues here and preventative care, and then we're looking at the younger ones taking that responsibility on to be able to go, okay, no worries, you know, how can we prevent this situation and look at some of the issues of, with our Aboriginal issues, a lot of our cultural issues is that there is a lot of people at the house. And of course, to have an intervention is to have a conversation, to get them to have that conversation. And there are some really good parents too who are doing a good job in the community as well. And
the majority of parents are doing a fantastic job. No parents want any of this to happen to their children.
And of course, it's that conversation. How important do you think what you're doing is putting that conversation out there in the community and having that dialogue?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's critical what we're doing today, just raising awareness, and, you know, like, majority of parents are doing a good job and are very good at what they do. But, yeah, it just takes that 1 second for something to go disastrously wrong, and then you have to live with those consequences. So, you know, the more we can sort of raise awareness and get people being proactive and doing good supervision with their children, the less likely it's going to happen and the better for everyone, because you do not want to be that person, you know, having to deal with the loss of a child. It's just something you'll never get over. It's very traumatic. So, you know, if we can raise awareness and educate people and make a difference, that's really important.
Well, I think we're doing it here at Noongar Radio and right across Australia too as well. We'll go to a music break. It's lovely talking to Mel again, and Scott, it's lovely to have you on the program.
Thank you.
And we'll recap some of the issues we've discussed at the moment and some of the issues that we'd like to bring forward here at 100.9 FM. Our radio, 100.9 FM. This is Health Matters right across Australia. on the various networks right here in Perth and Sydney, Melbourne, and on the Packham radio networks right around Western Australia and Northern Territory too, from what I understand. I just got a call from the Northern Territory, and people are listening in to Noongar Radio from time to time, and it's good, and a very valuable message we're talking about here, and it is about children's safety and the care of children, and many children end up going into hospitals and having to get medical treatment due to things that can be prevented within our community as well. And Mel Robinson, thanks for coming into the studios of 100.9 FM to talk about it. Tell us about your role that you do there, and the things that that is important to you in your dealing with some of our people.
Yeah, look, so I work at Perth Children's Hospital, which used to be Princess Margaret. We are seeing lots of Aboriginal kids coming in with different injuries, and we're just hoping by doing this show today and doing a bit of education with the community about how we can prevent some of those injuries.
Yeah.
You know, kids getting burnt around campfires, motor vehicle accidents where children aren't being, you know, in proper car seats and stuff, you know, poisonings, you know, obviously family violence, children can get injured as well. So, you know, all those things that are sort of preventable and we can do something about. We want to just educate people a little bit today, hopefully, and get some messages out there.
And also, Mel, some of the kids are coming in from the Royal Flying Doctor Service as well.
So we're seeing lots of country kids, you know. Obviously, our hospital takes the more seriously unwell children. If the injury is a little bit less serious, they would probably be treated out in the country areas or in the other hospitals around Perth that we have. But, yeah, we're seeing the more kind of serious side of those injuries, yeah.
And we're speaking with Scott Phillips, who's the CEO of KidSafe WA. And it's a really important aspect of, you know, kids' safety is so important, and I think it's safety in all areas. But as Mel was saying, and we're talking about, is that these things are preventable things that can happen. And there's a range of issues that that are centering around safety, safety in the home, safety as family, and we talked about community safety as well, which is a pretty important process when it comes to, you know, the overall safety of our young people, and they're vulnerable.
Correct. And look, what I'd like to stress is that our messages are for all the people in the West Australian community, and we're always trying to make sure that we're cutting through to every group. So today I'm here at Noongar Radio just asking that people understand that we would like to work with them on this issue in the community. We quite often we work from the Kimberleys all the way down to Esperance. We'd like to get out and make sure that we're breaking through with our message, and that people do understand that there are services and there are messaging for everybody in the community, and there's always things we can learn from each other's communities too. I think the Aboriginal community particularly do well of the supervision part of people knowing that it's not just the mum and dad who are responsible for this, and that's a lesson we can all learn, that it's really the aunties and the uncles and the whole community and the whole group that are looking after their children and making sure they have a great life.
It's almost like a cultural change, or a cultural, I suppose, going into a cultural change, and of course the fears of going to a hospital too. What are you going to tell our people that listening to the program now is to, you know, what sort of networks are there to assist them to alleviate their fears? Because I think fear, going to a hospital, anybody has fear, and but cultural fear is different, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're just trying in our service to sort of be a bit more culturally inclusive. So we try and run a range of activities to sort of create better engagement with our community, with our Noongar community, but also the communities across the state that are coming into the service. We have our Aboriginal liaison officers. So there's two lovely ladies that work with us who work with all the children that are admitted who, you know, identify as Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander. So they connect up with them on a daily basis and offer support to those families. I mean, obviously, after a serious sort of injury, there's a lot of trauma that comes with that for families. So we're trying to link up with whatever services we can in the community as well to kind of provide more assistance for families. But, you know, it's a very difficult time. You know, obviously we've got big families and often they want to be involved and know how they can help as well, and that's really important. But when a child is injured, you know, the main priority is looking after the child and getting them, you know, better and improving their health. So, you know, sometimes that's our core focus, but we support the families as much as we can, you know, in terms of what their needs are, whether it's they need to stay in the hospital with their child, you know, whether it's financial support, whatever we can do to help. We have our big social work department that can assist with some of that stuff as well. But also linking back to the community when they get discharged and they get sent home, you know, making sure that they get the services they need out in the community, you know, whether you need rehabilitation or ongoing support or need to come back for follow-up and stuff. So we do what we can. Yeah.
You mentioned a very important word. It's a lovely word to use. It's cultural inclusion.
Mm.
And when you feel that process happening within your own consciousness, there's almost a wellness coming to you, because there's a I like particularly the Noongar Welcome to Country at the hospital.
Mm.
I thought, well, that was we were talking about it today, and it's said Welcome to Country Noongar Budja, you know, Noongar Budja, which is an inclusion. How important is that?
Oh, look, it's absolutely essential. You know, if we're not providing a service that meets our family's needs, we need to know about that, because, you know, we need people to feel safe, because when they feel safe, they'll come and access care, and they'll come early when they need to, you know, get into a service, not later on when things are serious. So it's really important that people feel safe and included and a part of your service. And, you know, that requires ongoing feedback and advice from the community who are coming in about what their needs are and how we can sort of make it better. Obviously, getting more Aboriginal people into the workforce, more nurses, more doctors, more allied health team is great. But really, we don't want kids coming into hospital. We want them to be happy and safe out in the community. So, you know, whatever we can do to stop that happening. You know, we've got enough of our children, you know, suffering from other illnesses, that if we can prevent, you know, an illness or an injury, obviously that's our number one priority. And I guess we hadn't had it on the list today, but immunisation is one way, making sure your children are immunised. Especially in that first year, there's a lot of vaccines due over that year. You know, you've got 2, 4, 6, 8 month vaccines, and then your 12 month and your 2 year old. Really important that people vaccinate their children, because that's one way you can prevent disease. It's a really simple thing to do, and we're seeing more and more of these diseases like measles coming back into the community, people coming back from overseas, and we do not want little babies getting sick. So, you know, if you're behind with your needles, it's not the end of the world, but get your kids into the clinic and make them, you know, get them caught up so they're up to date.
Yeah.
It's really important. And we're noticing on Noongar Budja here in the metro area that our immunisation rates for children under 2 are behind.
Right.
And we've got quite a gap there, so we're doing some work to sort of educate the community. But if anyone's listening today and their kids are behind, don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Just get into your clinic or talk to your AMS and get it sorted out.
And 9 times out of 10, they do have their vaccination book, which has all the information. And from what I understand, there's a great link between hospitals now and other agencies are working together to assist with the people with the young ones, and say, well, you know, I think the school community is important too as well. They play a big role when it comes to getting this information out there as well, because those vaccinations need to be updated.
Yeah, just a plug for the hospital for our new Stan Parent Clinic. We have an immunisation clinic at Perth Children's Hospital now.
Yes.
So if you're driving by and your immunisations are behind, call in.
Yeah.
They are open Monday to Friday. And they're happy for people just walking off the street, and they'll look your child up on the immunisation register, and if they need something, they'll provide it for you then and there. So, or if you're an inpatient in the hospital, go along and have a chat to them and they'll assist you. I think they shut between 1 and 2, but they're open from 9 to 4 every day. So if you're out and about and you realise that your kids are behind, drop in and and see the people in the clinic, and they'd love to talk to you about immunisations.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot we can do to prevent illness and injury, and I think, you know, the more we talk about it, the better. And KidSafe WA obviously play a crucial role in educating the community about injury prevention.
Yeah. And, Scott, what are some of those things that are important within the community as well, and that education and how important it is out there in the community of what you're doing?
I think it's really important. You know, we know that we've, since our inception, KidSafe, around Australia, that we've halved the number of injuries in the country.
So there's some really good statistics coming back.
Statistics, yeah. But still, when I said 27 children have died, that's way too many. None of us would accept that.
Yeah.
One message I'd like to give just from that conversation is, quite often, and this is broadly in the community, people feel not that they don't want to ask a dumb question or seek out services because they're not sure, but that's why we exist, because the questions aren't dumb, and quite often we won't see our child take a tablet or swallow a battery or do something, and we're not sure, but we would just stress, always reach out, there's services there, and the services are there to actually answer those questions for you. So we have our poisons information line. We have, you know, places like KidSafe with lots of messaging there. And we even have a safety demonstration house if you want to come and have a look at little things you can do in your house. And it's a community centre, and we welcome everybody to come to our West Leadville Centre and have a look, or jump online and do the online version of that. But really, no questions are dumb questions, particularly if it's related to your child and you're not sure.
Do you have a parent day, or parents when they come in at a specific time, or or is it just some of the questions that they like to raise? Or what would you do, say, for a parent knocking on your door now? What's the first thing?
So we have parents there all the time. They can do a self-guided tour. Yeah. We have organised tours. So we have children in from TAFE. We have people in from everywhere to come in. But there'll be parents in there all day today going through and just having a look at how they can make their house ready for their young child coming into the family. We also do safety checks of car restraints, just for that peace of mind. Make sure that your child car restraint's appropriate for your child. We do that at we do that in 14 places around the metropolitan area. So if anybody is wondering whether they need to, they're not sure, we're a great resource to contact. And if we were talking about swimming pools, we've got Royal Life Saving WA, who do a fantastic job. And for older, We do children up to 14, but we also have Injury Matters in this state, who really look after that adult part. And, you know, particularly falls in older adults in this state is, you know, in older people, falls are a huge, huge issue. We have Injury Matters over there in Leaderville, who can give you lots of information, lots of programs for our elderly population.
And also, Scott, getting in contact with other service agencies like, Swimming WA and a number of other agencies that are working really in working in collaboration with yourself, to bring people together and to share that knowledge and to also looking at outsourcing as well. I mean, with what's out there in the community, isn't it?
And there's lots of agencies there. Yeah. And look, you talked about the Northern Territory. All of these agencies are also in the Northern Territory and actually are all around Australia. So this is a problem everywhere. And particularly the more remote we are, the harder to get treatment if something happens. So it's really important that our messages are getting out right across the state.
Yeah. Mel, you not only work at you do work at the hospital, but you know, you're getting that information out to other service agencies, Allied Health, Aboriginal Medical Service. How important is that?
It's very important, Jeremy, because I mean, when a child's unwell or injured, they obviously will go to a range of places to seek help. And I guess we haven't really touched on today, but sports injuries is a big issue as well.
That's important.
I mean, last year the Princess Margaret Emergency, which is now obviously Perth Children, saw 4,300 children who came in with a sports related injury. So trampolines are probably one of the worst causes of injuries in young children, but, you know, right up to the 14-year-old, I guess. And then obviously older kids, it's the team sports and stuff. But I think, you know, the main thing is if you are worried, that you go seek advice. And, you know, obviously our AMSs have doctors in them. And they have nurse practitioners, Aboriginal health workers, Aboriginal health practitioners. So, you know, don't be afraid to go and ask someone for advice, because, you know, if you've got a feeling that something's not right, 100% of the time parents pick up on things before they even know. And little kids and little batteries is something that, you know, a split second,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah, those things. They're awful things. A lot of those
toys now have the little batteries. Tiny batteries. Yeah. Yeah, so just be aware of that. That's and once a battery's inside someone, you know, sometimes they pass it naturally, but sometimes it'll get caught and it's there forever, and it can cause a serious, you know, a long-term serious issue.
Well, batteries, these lithium batteries, they burn through tissue in 2 hours, even if you think they're dead. Before, when somebody swallowed something, we'd wait for it to pass, but particularly children under three, it can get caught in the cleft in their throat and cause serious harm. And we've had a number of deaths around the world due to just ingesting a battery.
Yeah.
So these can be the batteries from hearing aids, from remote controls, from your key ring, from singing cards, not always in children's toys. So most children's toys will have to have a screw in it, but these are coming from adults, adult type things, and we take them out and we think that they're dead because they're not working in it anymore, but 2 hours and it can burn through tissue.
It's incredible when you think of that. And then, I mean, we haven't even discussed toy safety. The amazing things about toys, and I know this is outside of the guidelines here, but when we're looking at toys, I mean, my little boy came in with you know, with one of those little guns you put the little bullets in there, and he's shooting and, you know, missing his eye almost. I'm going, hang on, that's safety. That's a safety issue that he needs to know, or it needs to be guided through this whole process. And again, it's about the manufacturers, it's about those things. I've taken that away from you, but I'm just using that as an example.
Do work quite closely. We sit on Australian Standards Committees for toys. Mm. So the Standards Committees put Australian standards in. So when you go and buy a toy in the shop and it has an age on there, that's actually a lot of work gone into. But it's really about ingesting and making sure that projectiles don't harm the eye.
Yeah.
Quite often we're having a problem now with things coming in quickly from overseas. We can order things on the internet now, and they may not have been tested under Australian standards. Really, we don't have enough people on the border to be checking every box that comes in from overseas that we're ordering. So we just have to be really careful of some of the toys around our child, particularly small parts they can choke on.
Yeah, and Scott's coming up is, of course, festivities and lots of things. The kids are going to go on holiday soon, and they're going to be at the Royal Show. And
well, just on that, I work closely with Consumer Protection, and the guys there just had to sit through and test over 200 show bags and go through every one to make sure that there's no batteries, no small objects or within those bags. So it sounds like a good job, but apparently they tell me it isn't.
And of course, Mel, having kids at the Royal Show, we used to get a lot of kids missing in the police post. And the importance of keeping an eye on your child when they're out there, and I think it's important to do that, and so that there's no harm being done to a child falling over or you know, then younger children, you know, five upwards, really need that.
Guide. Especially in those, absolutely, Jeremy, in those busy places where there's a lot of people. I mean, quite young on, you can teach kids what to do if they do get lost. At the show, I know they give you those stickers
Name tags that you put on your police post. Yeah. Get the name tags.
So, you know, if you have got young
kids... On the inside of it.
Yeah, if you have got young kids at the show, definitely go and get one of those and, you know, put it on them somewhere, so at least then they know how to find you. But, yeah, again, you know, kids slip off really quick. There's a lot of crowds. You know, it's not difficult to lose a child and... You know, the panic that comes with that. But if the kid's old enough, maybe just make sure they know where to meet you, or, you know, how to get help you know, there's a lot of police around the ground and stuff, so, you know, who to go up to and ask for advice.
Right. Now, there are safety posts where people, where the kids can go.
So colleagues of us, Constable Care, they actually run that service, and they have posts all around the showgrounds, and you can register and put those stickers on as the child comes in, and there's people to go to if you do get lost.
Right. Is there any point we can, you would like to raise? This is the point raising where things that we haven't touched on that you'd like to make an important announcement. Scott, to you.
Well, the most important thing I would like to say here is our numbers we've talked about are way too big. But these are simple things that we can do. And we've talked about supervision.
Yeah.
And it's really just doing a little bit of a scan of where you are, where your house is, making sure that those simple things that we know are looked after. And remember, if you're two, you're a metre tall, you're looking up, and you're also and you're also very inquisitive, trying to get at everything. So be that first line of defence.
Yeah, and it is, it's about, well, it's about the child's learning. They're inquisitive and they want to see things. Why would you, you know, be inquisitive? Because you want to know what other
people
are
doing,
and that's how we learn as well. Belle, raise anything you'd like to?
I think for me, just, you know, if you have got a busy house and a lot going on, we had a little tip here around creating a safe play area for those children. I think that's really important to do. You know, if you've got a busy house with lots of people, just create an area where the kids can play.
Like a safe place.
Yeah, maybe set up some toys and stuff. I think that's a really good tip. We haven't really talked about car driveways and safety.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, look, you know, young kids in driveways, doesn't take long. Like Scott said, they're only, you know, a two-year-old's only a metre high. Like, you know, a lot of the cars now have those reversing sensors and things, but, you know, those little kids, they get into lots of spaces underneath cars and all that. So just knowing where kids are when you're reversing out of driveways is really important. And we've had a number of injuries of kids getting run over in driveways. So, you know, just to be conscious that if you're in a busy house and there's lots of kids running around, where are they when you're trying to move vehicles and people are coming and going? And, you know, can you keep them in one little space and keep them busy and keep them occupied, but keep them safe as well? Yeah. And just the water safety, you know. Like we said, not much water and, you know, it could be a disaster. So making sure buckets are empty, making sure gates are locked on pools, making sure ponds are protected, all those things. So they're the main things for me.
And Scott, it's only a very short second of safety. That little window of opportunity, it disappears with children. And when they're coming through, like having an incident, like you talked about a pool, the safety of a pool, but take the responsibility, get the people to, I suppose people need to be aware of the responsibility, and how quickly someone could be in a situation.
Yeah, and it's really about, like we said, there's simple things that we can do, but I think we get a little bit busy and we put things off, like we'll buy a new piece of furniture and we'll think we'll connect that to the wall later, or we, you know, we're on our phone and we'll think, you know, I can sit here and read this magazine while my child's in the pool because I'm sort of watching them. But when disaster happens, it has huge consequences on a family, and nobody ever wants that to happen, and it happens very quickly. So we just talked about driveway safety. Little ones will try to get out to the car if they think it's leaving without them, and they'll run behind it, and the cameras and the sensors really, they won't be quick enough to pick it up because they're moving so quickly. We've got teenagers out on roads with skateboards and bikes without helmets on and things like that. So if we're buying equipment for our kids, make sure we buy the safety equipment that goes with it. And we make sure that we're supervising them when they're out and about and we know what they're doing.
Yeah. And I suppose the the other aspect is you have peak times where, you know, you're going to be distracted by things and there are going to be distractions, and to be aware and spot the hazard and then assess the risk, then make the change to be able to say, okay, I've got there's a funeral coming in my family, and you know, I've got to I know that that's a risk. There's going to be some risks there because there's going to be a lot of people in the house, and then keeping sort of my eye on my child as well. That would be a risk process when it comes to our Aboriginal people and families.
Absolutely, because a lot of family come to our funerals. You know, it's a busy time. We're all in grief. You know, people are upset. And one of the things we may not consider is, you know, who is watching the young children and who's keeping an eye on them. Like we said before, don't rely on your older kids, you know. Yeah. I mean, because that's a lot of responsibility for them, and they haven't got the thinking that an adult has, so don't do that. I think always being aware we've got summer coming. Obviously summer we're all out and about, there's a lot of water involved, lots of barbecues, lots of sort of outdoor activities, obviously climbing on, you know, different sporting stuff out in the parks and stuff. So just be aware of what's on around, you know, busy roads, a lot of parks are on busy roads and stuff. I think just like that supervision, we cannot emphasise it enough. Adult supervision is critical in any of those situations, you know. And in the home, same thing. You know, where are your children? What are they doing? Who's watching them?
Mel Robinson, it's really nice having you on the program. Thanks, time's just gone so fast.
I know, we could talk all day.
Isn't it nice, you know? Yeah. And it means because you know, there's information coming out to our community. Where can people get in contact with you?
I think probably the best place is to go to the Perth Children's Hospital or the CARS Child and Adolescent Health Service website. I think there's a link through our Healthy WA page as well. Yeah. So, I mean, pretty much I'll come up on Google if anyone wants to contact me, Mel Robinson. But obviously when you come into the hospital, people can link you up with me. But, yeah, just get out and about and find out what's available through your AMSs and through your local hospitals as well, because that information is out there.
I reckon you can do a shout-out with someone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, go for it.
I think I'll do a shout-out for my Kimberley family, for the Russ family, and just send my love to all of them up there. We had a death in our family recently, which is pretty sad. So we've got a funeral coming up next week. So just to stay strong, you mob, and look after yourselves up there.
Wonderful to have you on the program again.
Thank you.
Scott Phillips, CEO of KidSafe WA. Nice to have you on the program too as well.
Always a pleasure, thank you.
No worries, and really, really appreciate your time. And there's something that we're doing as a community is we're closing the gap when it comes to radio and putting it out in the radio, and thank you very much for your time. Would you like to say anything important or your contact numbers?
Well, really the best place to get us is probably at our website. We have KidSafe WA website, we have KidSafe WA Facebook page, KidSafe WA YouTube. We've just talked about people being too distracted on their phone and now we're sending them there. But make sure that you're not supervising when you go and have a look.
Thank you both for coming into the studios of 100.9 FM. Very shortly, we'll have the news and the national bulletin right here at Noongar Radio. And if you've heard this particular program and you say, look, I'd like to put something together, I want to say hello and say thank you. 044 88 21186 is the SMS text line, and don't text and drive whatever you do.